Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. I am your host, Ava Muhammad, and we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. Of course, welcome once again to this incredible forum where the best minds in the world gather to discuss the future of the 40 to 60 million descendants of slaves here in North America, as well as the future of the people of the earth. And it is such a blessing to be with you again. We have a lot to talk about this evening. We have some great subject matter. And so don't forget, if you want to participate, get in line early so you're not left when this 90 minutes ends. 347-324-5091. 347-324-5091 is the call-in number. And, of course, as was indicated, you can log in to blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces to get this program live. And also visit that website in our show page so that you can pull up previous episodes from the archives. Now, we are also delighted to share with you that we are streaming live in Waterloo, Iowa on WKBOL 100.1 FM, and we welcome our listeners there. We join a list of distinguished shows on that wonderful station that air weekly, and one of those is Torchlight, which airs every Friday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time. So check KBOLradio.com for other programming. And, of course, it is such an honor and privilege for me personally, and it's a blessing to the program, Elevated Places, that we are now airing live every Sunday, 4 Central, 5 Eastern, on the Talk of Chicago, the legendary WVON Radio, 1690 AM in Chicago. And that is one of the 3 top urban talk markets in the United States. We, of course, are very pleased that this week we're going to be discussing a very important topic to the community on our Sunday episode or version of Elevated Places, and that is the feminization of the black man. The feminization of the black man. Very, very critical subject matter. Of course, I am pleased to be returning from a 4-day visit to Washington, D.C., where I was hosted by Student Minister Kadir Muhammad and the laborers and believers there in the nation's capital. They have a beautiful mosque in an incredible location, and it was packed to the rafters. Had almost twice its seating capacity. We had people from everywhere. I mean, the brothers and sisters really did an incredible job of getting the word out. And I won't talk numbers, but the acceptances were something that would bring to mind a major event. It was, I just shook hands forever. And so, Allah willing, we'll be back, back in D.C. again, my family and I, shortly. We were blessed while we were there to be able to watch Minister Farrakhan at the fundraiser for the Wright Museum in Detroit, where he played violin. The minister is a, literally, I don't say this as a follower of his. I was a student of classical music as a young girl, piano. I studied piano for 12 years. And the minister is one of the very best classical violinists in the world. And so he gave of his time and his talent to raise funds to make sure that the Wright Museum, and the, I'm sure Brother Terrence can add because he was there, to that. But it was, I just love technology when it's used properly, because I was had such a great time. Two nights in a row we had dinner at the home of Sister Liesl Farrakhan. And she and Brother Lewis Jr. Are the parents of five beautiful children, and we are, my husband and I, are godparents to all of their children. The oldest one, Safiya, was our flower girl when we got married 25 years ago this August, and we were the first wedding that was held at Mosque Mariam, the National Center, and Minister Farrakhan performed that ceremony, and Safiya was 3 years old at the time. Now she's 28. She's got her own six-year-old and took my oldest daughter, Sasha, out shopping. And it's just a wonderful thing when you go around and visit the cities. And I am finding myself being secured and served and assisted by beautiful young Muslims, intelligent, educated Muslims who I once held in my arms 20 or so years ago. It is amazing, and this is what life is all about, and this is how you gain your immortality, is through the next generations. And that's why it is so important that we stay close together and we begin to build communities. So I've been on my soapbox, and I want to say that I'm very happy that, again, we are joined this evening by our Elevated Places analyst and contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, as well as my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. And so, Brother Terrence, before we get into tonight's discussion, we're going to talk a little bit about Malcolm X. From the perspective of the Nation of Islam, and basically the assassination of Malcolm, his birthday was the 19th of May. But just we just want to do a little small discussion on that, and then we will move into the topic that I discussed in Washington, D.C., anatomy of the 21st century slave. And so much is going on that the most basic, unlearned person can see now that everything that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his student, Minister Louis Farrakhan, his national representative, every last word they have said to us is true about the need to go for ourselves. We really need to stop this craziness of seeking inclusion in the white man's society, his economy, his educational system. There should be nothing he's got that we want if we are paying attention to what is going on in his world. So with that, Brother Terrence, I'm going to turn it over to you for the updates.
Well, yes, you know, it is a pleasure and an honor to be here. And sometimes, you know, I have to always be grateful and reminded whose show I'm a part of, one of the, if not the baddest student representatives of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the planet. And as you just mentioned, the house was packed in my region, Moss number 4, the mighty Moss number 4, and the people were talking about it. Just the title alone would make you want to come out. Dissecting, you know, we said the anatomy, what makes
That's
up
right.
of a slave, the 21st century slave. So you would want to see the description of what that is so you can do a checkup from the neck up and make sure that you're operating right and that you are not part of the anatomy of the 21st century slave. So that was very, very, very powerful. I have some notes, but I think I'm going to go backwards just to give some updates because I do want to talk briefly about Detroit. But we want to remind everybody the national training, the national martial arts training for all those that want to learn, just come to learn martial arts will be in Glenville, Illinois, coming up June 6th and the 7th, and that is the national martial arts training. You can go to, I think it's VSK, jujitsu.com. And you can learn more about that. Also, the Youth Summit in Houston is coming up. You can go to NOISAHouston.com. NOISAHouston.com is coming right up next month. Also, the Minister Farrakhan, will be making another stop in Philadelphia June 21st. He will be in the great city of Philadelphia June 21st, while our sister will be back on the roll again June 21st in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So you want to make sure that you're in Winston-Salem, North Carolina on June 21st. Also, she's making a stop later on down the way. We'll talk about that later in Shreveport, Louisiana, July the 19th. But we do want to quickly, because we have a lot to cover tonight, just say that if you missed it, you missed a magnificent, extraordinary, just words cannot express the journey of Minister Farrakhan playing his violin and seeing the other side of his magnificent glory and beauty. This past weekend, he performed at the Charles H. Wright Museum in Detroit, Michigan this Sunday, and he was a part of a wonderful, magnificent program of singers, gospel singers, opera singers, violinists, pianists. It was a marvelous thing. And the beauty of Minister Farrakhan is extraordinary. And I will say, you might want to go Google two things. The Wright, WRIGHT.com, the Wright Museum, because the minister performed for a benefit concert for the Charles H. Wright Museum, and he spoke about Sister Dr. Stacy, whose father was the architect of the building, and it was done by black architects or built by them, and he wanted to make sure that we supported that museum, one of our historical treasures. And just the beauty of him offering himself, not for any fund. He didn't get paid. He just offered his services and his skills as a violin to come for free. Also, you can go to YouTube and search Minister Farrakhan Performs at Benefit Concert, and you can see it on YouTube, what he did in his performance this past Sunday. The minister is a beautiful man. We could hear him practicing before his instructor, Aka, she came with her. You could see her playing the violin with him. And just the beauty of Minister Farrakhan, he wasn't feeling well. He was exhausted. He had, as he spoke, had fallen a couple of days before, and, you know, his legs were not as strong as he wanted them to be, but at part of his performance, he did stand up and perform. And just to see the crowd loving Minister Farrakhan, and this, you know, it just showed his love for us. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to stand. He didn't have to play. It's a condition, but his word is golden and his word is bond. And he did an excellent performance, as I know since I played the violin years ago. The people thoroughly enjoyed the concert. And lastly, he did ask all of us members of the Nation of Islam in Detroit and surrounding area and for those to come into Detroit to help our brother, Congressman John Conyers, to stay in office as they are trying to quietly remove him from office in the great city of Detroit, who has been there for the minister, and we want to make sure that we do a writing campaign for our brother John Conyers. But it was a magnificent experience, the other side that a lot of people do not know and did not experience. And I would just say also, People need to read the latest edition of The Final Call and read the testimonies of the women of God that speaks of the life of Minister Farrakhan. So if the violin performance doesn't get you, read the latest edition of The Final Call and hear the words of those that watch him, that surround him and see him. Sister Mary Alice, Sister Ava, Sister Aisha, Sister Donna, Sister Fatima, and the words that they're expressing, our brother Ishmael, about this great person that the world needs to get quickly acquainted with, and his teacher, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Dr. Ridgely, I know you're versed in this topic. We want to just give a few moments because you are one of the insightful members of the research department that pointed out to us in the nation the pattern of the enemy. Our people need to know and be reminded that Malcolm X, whose name is known to virtually everyone, he said these words back in 1964. Malcolm X, student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, and I quote, "The press is so powerful in its image-making role, it can make a criminal look like he's the victim and make the victim look like he's the criminal." And, of course, many have referred to our brother whose life was snuffed out at age 39 as one of the best known and really one of the least understood public figures of modern time. And his years and years of public speaking and debating on behalf of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, no matter what he ultimately did later in life, made him an outstanding advocate for the rights of black people in the United States and around the world. And this is why Minister Farrakhan included him in his upliftment of many of our black leaders during the Savior's Day message. But in 1994, and I just wanted to briefly remind us, and then perhaps Dr. Ridgely, you could revisit what you had raised up 2 years ago with the showing, or early in 2013, I think it was,
right,
that television movie about,
right,
Betty Shabazz and Coretta Scott King. I'll say purportedly about them, because,
right,
a lot of the scenes were between the two of them when they were alone, and neither of them is here to contradict what was said. But as the minister moved out with the time and what must be done, and as it became clear that rather than waning as he moves up in age, he is getting stronger, the enemy, you know, felt the need to once again point the people in the direction of the nation as the culprit. But you know, we want it known that in 1994, the New York Post attempted to derail the Million Man March, and the first weapon they used was Malcolm, the man they assassinated, okay, that they had assassinated.
That's right.
And
that's right.
They, we immediately filed a $4.4 billion lawsuit against them, and we were successful in holding them back from printing any further editions of what we were told was going to be. They only printed one part, but they were planning to do a 16-part series.
Mm. Mm. Wow.
Investigating or reinvestigating,
wow,
the assassination,
yeah,
of Malcolm X. And Dr. Ridgely, you know, you had embarked upon some things. I just wanted us to revisit that because I don't want us to lose sight of the means by which the enemy has in the past and plans in the future to try to derail us before we get. We are so close to our destination, but we're so far.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm writing an article. It's called Investigate the Assassination of Malcolm X and 9/11. Because these two hoaxes, these two perpetrations by the enemy to blame it on Muslims, is two of the most important things that happened in the last 6,000 years to, in fact, derail the success of the Messiah, which our enemies, the very wise Jews, know is to come, and they're working hard to derail that Messiah, who is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, now represented by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So one of the main reasons that I came back to join up with Minister Farrakhan was because they rose up Malcolm in 1991 to fight Minister Farrakhan. I wasn't in the Nation of Islam as such in 1991, but I saw them raising Malcolm up, getting ready for the movie Malcolm X, and I said, they're raising this man up from the dead to put words in his mouth to fight Farrakhan. I thought that it was Elijah Muhammad who had Malcolm killed. That's what they put out before, in 65 on, it was Elijah Muhammad.
Sure, but
now, now all of a sudden, Elijah Muhammad is no longer here. The Nation of Islam fell apart after 1975, and now Minister Farrakhan, just with the teachings of all of Elijah Muhammad, is bringing it back, and they rose up Malcolm. So I really got working on researching Malcolm X and the assassination, and it's amazing what they hid. For instance, we know about the firebombing of Malcolm's house. Well, Malcolm had a press conference on February 17, 1965, where he said, we are demanding an immediate investigation by the FBI of the bombing. We feel a conspiracy has been entered into at a local level with some local police, firemen, and press. It centered around the bottle, unused bottle, like a Molotov cocktail that the firefighters claimed that they found on the dresser of his daughter in the bedroom. Well, family members and friends had already cleaned out the dresser after the fire. They got the things out that were not burnt, and they did not see this fire can, this gasoline can. And so that's when Malcolm and Sister Betty and his sister Ella realized that was the police department, that was the firemen who placed it there. They were the only ones who had control of that scene. And then later on, somebody came to Malcolm, a fireman came to Malcolm in confidence and said, yeah, we did it. You know, we did it. So that's when Malcolm held a press conference. But the press conference was not widely televised or written about. It is just recently that I found out about this press conference and about a radio program that he had on the 18th of February. Remember that he was killed on February 21st, 1965.
Yes.
So in this week leading up to his assassination, he was revealing that he no longer felt that it was the Nation of Islam behind his assassination. He said that 10 hours after he came back from France, and France turned him around when not allowed him to come into France. He knew the nation could not have stopped France from allowing him to come in. 10 hours after he gets home, his house gets firebombed. He first said it was the Nation of Islam that did it, but then he realized that they could not have put a gas canister in his home after the police and the fire department took over. So now he realized he was a part of a bigger conspiracy, and he was going to tell it on the 21st more about this conspiracy of the government against his life. But, of course, he was assassinated, and then the Nation of Islam was blamed, even though the people who they claimed killed Malcolm, who they brought in, were not even there, except for the one person, Hagen,
exactly.
Who later said that there were four other conspirators and they were not the ones that were put in jail. But there was the system, of course, did not want to open it back up. So we put up a petition on change.org last year. You know,
that's right.
Just backing up the ministers asking a demand for years. They okay.
That's right.
Don't try me in the court of public opinion. Why don't you open up the file?
Open up
the file. All the files on Malcolm and on me, Minister Louis Farrakhan, and on Elijah. Open them up, and let's see what you got. But they're not going to open them up because they know that it will expose them as the players behind the scenes using black people, black faces, to do their dirty work. And so now they got this Malcolm assassination thing they can bring up anytime they want to. I guess when the new Nation of Islam, is here 2,000 years from now, somebody's going to say, well, y'all killed Malcolm. You know, all the people involved in that are gone. The old Nation of Islam is gone. This is a new one. And it's just on the word, and that's what they're afraid of. It's the word that Minister Farrakhan speaks that they're afraid of, and they can't defeat the word, so all they can do is try to throw mud in his face his character. But we're here to defend him with their own words against them who have perpetrated this hoax against Minister Farrakhan.
And you know, Malcolm's assassination and the handling of it in the press is a prime illustration of use of the mind of a slave. For any black person in this day and age to continue to buy into what the descendants of your enemy, who now have imposed their own vicious brand of racism to continue the plantation system, and to let them say to us that the Nation of Islam, to which Malcolm not only belonged, but was produced by and from. It is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that made Malcolm the man that all these people claim they love and admire so much.
That's right.
This man was a hustler, a pimp, a criminal, reduced to that by the same racist America that exists today, where a man with Malcolm's brilliance had no path to a career. A man who, as a child, was told by the white teacher, you know, you don't need to be a lawyer. Our people are certainly not going to be your clients, and your people will not be your client. You're useful with your hands. Go do that. This is the quintessence of the black experience in America, and it continues today, where they are constantly manufacturing Negroes who serve as a mouthpiece for the white man. So you've had these numerous books written by Negroes,
right?
So supposedly, who know Malcolm. They don't know nothing about the Nation of Islam or Malcolm, except really what the white man has said. He's the one that publishes these books.
He's
the one that gives green lights on films. And so we just have to be, and I thank you, Dr. Richard, because you brought even more new revelation, even tonight. That's why Elevated Places is the place to be, because not only do you hear it here, many times you hear it here first.
That was
some powerful information. Now we're going to start going to the phones and just take the discussion right up to today on the 21st century slave, which I talked about in Washington, D.C. And of course, we have been looking at the National Basketball Association simply because it represents, number one, a great illustration. It's a microcosm, and it's an illustration, but it's real, of the plantation economy, and it is where so many black people, especially women sisters, who are rearing our sons and trying to steer them into these professional sports. Even as we learned as recently as this week, you know, it's been talked about for a number of years, but simultaneously what's coming to a head is the NFL, another plantation, another big mega plantation, where on that plantation what you see is the way the slave master uses your body. where you are just worked literally to death.
That's right.
And so we're finding out about football players who are just filled up with painkillers.
That's right.
While they are sent out on these fields to play so that billions of dollars can be made, they're sent out there with not only broken ankles and legs, but necks.
Come on.
And they put that helmet on, and they're
that
so full of painkiller, they don't feel it. But then, you know, they're dying. Some of them are committing suicide.
Right. Yeah.
Because they've suffered brain damage.
Right.
From their bodies. It's no different from the scene in Django where,
that's
you
right.
remember Leonardo DiCaprio was making
right.
two slaves fight each other.
Right.
And
yes.
and when the one brother defeated the other and got up, he made him go back. No, you kill him.
Right.
That's right.
And I think his reward was some beer or something.
Yes, some beer.
Yeah, and but then they sit back and say, oh, you Negroes are violent.
Come on.
Y'all kill each other. We better wake up and smell the coffee. But I'm going to go to the phones, and then we'll open up and we'll all get in this discussion. We have Brother Muhammad, who is calling from the 214 Dallas area code with his comment. Welcome, sir. You are live.
Assalamu alaikum, beloved.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Muhammad.
People say that it was TMZ that broke the Donald Sterling tapes. Wrong. It wasn't TMZ. It was really G-O-D. Because The Bible teaches us that what's done in the dark will come to the light. Sister Ava, you're talking about the Aunt Jemima on Saturday Night Live. Minister Farrakhan told us at one of the Savior's Day, don't be surprised at anything you see. Aldous Huxley said it best. Experience is not what happens to you. Experience is how you react to what happens. And it's been a month since Donald Sterling spoke, and we failed to interpret what he said. God teaches us in the Quran, teaches us what? The rules of what? The rules of interpretation. Some statements are decisive, while others are allegorical, and none knows its meaning except God and men of understanding. 8 years ago, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us God's interpretation of what Donald Sterling said 30 days ago. In the tape, respite me until the day that they are raised. Minister Farrakhan said, Donald Sterling announced to blacks, niggers, and Uncle Toms that in 2014, y'all are still my nigger slaves, no matter how many trillions of dollars you think you have. In Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, God calls black people blind, deaf, and dumb. We must, like you said, wake up and realize Donald Sterling, Saturday Night Live, Step and Fetch It, Hottentot Venus skits, the NBA slaves, the NFL slaves, the NCAA slaves, the Trayvon Martin lynching are all saying the same thing, lifting and restating Yaqub and Willie Lynch. Kill the nigger and save the white boy. Article 1, right. Section 2, paragraph 3 of the Constitution of the United States says that black people are still slaves. Black people are still slaves, calling us three-fifths of a human being. And God has revealed our slavery in 2014 in his last attempt to get us to leave with his man, Honorable Louis Farrakhan. Only the stupid, ignorant nigger slaves who want to die with Massa can't see it. Revelation 18:5, God says, niggas, leave America before I kill you with the white folks. Donald Sterling and his player slaves are in the Bible if you look under the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. The players play the role of Lazarus because they love what? The crumbs that fall from Massa Sterling's good nigger clipper table. Now, the sin that they committed were that they were too lazy to build a table or a world of their own as God has commanded. So the rich man sicked his dogs on Lazarus. Dogs here means the agents and the white girls that the slave players have. The word Lazarus is not the name of a man, but it's a secret code from God to black people. It's not really Lazarus, but the real meaning is in the word, saying lazy are us, which means when lazy are us, it's what we are now. When we are lazy to accept our own, be ourselves,
right.
Do for self, and build our own world, we deserve
Brother,
to be killed by
yes,
the white
sir.
Folks.
Thank you,
yes,
Brother Muhammad. You're just so insightful and intelligent and analytical. And I got to move on because I got a line of
yes,
callers.
Ma'am.
But I am so in agreement with every last thing that you're saying. And in fact, I told the people at Mosque Number 4 on Sunday, I defended Donald Sterling. I said that it's a dangerous precedent that we set when a man just speaks the truth in what he believes is a private setting. If we honestly think that Donald Sterling's view of life and view of us is any different than any other owner in the NBA or the NFL or Wall Street or anywhere else, if we think it's any different, then we are seriously delusional.
That's right.
The only difference with him is he's just raw.
And
right. He thought he was in the privacy of either his home or wherever he was with this woman. He felt comfortable. And now he has come out in the public and has confirmed what Minister Farrakhan and the research team have been attempting to get across for a number of years. The secret relationship between blacks and Jews is no longer a secret. And as
right.
Brother Muhammad pointed out, Allah revealed this,
that's
not
right.
TMZ. I said
that's
to the
right.
people Sunday, Allah said, if it's under a rock, I
that's
am
right.
going to bring it forth. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, Allah will make you separate.
That's
so
right.
This is going to keep coming
oh,
until
yes.
Negroes' backs are against the wall. He's not going to let you keep defending your slave master.
That's right.
That's right.
Unless
you know,
and
what
until
I love
you're
about,
made exposed as a traitor. But yes, sir, go ahead.
You know, Sterling is revealing so much of interest and need for us to understand. When he was talking in an interview, he said that the Jews have a company that
right.
loans money to other Jews at no interest.
That's right.
And if they can pay it back, fine. If not, fine. Well, I went to the Internet, and the company is the International Association of Jewish Free Loans.
Come on. Come on.
And
are they hiding that? No.
It's like it's right there in plain view. And guess what that process is? That's called Islamic banking.
That's what
Islamic banking is, that you loan money without interest. And
right. It's forbidden. It is forbidden.
That's right. And if the debtor can't pay you back, you don't go and take his house and children. You work with him to help him pay it back, because everybody
right.
has a stake in that person's success, not failure. So therefore, Donald Sterling has showed us that the Jews practice Islam in secret.
Exactly.
And denigrate Islam
among themselves. That's what
amongst
they live
themselves,
among
they practice
themselves.
Islam, and this is what Musa taught them in the cave. You cannot have a civilization without Islam, the principles of Islam, of right and justice. So they do that amongst themselves and then feed us non-economic liberalism and all types of sin and pornography and fornication and now homosexuality, while it's forbidden for them. So this is why they're the chief hypocrites. That's why they're called Satan, because they know the right way. They loan to each other without interest and then charge interest to the rest of the world and get filthy rich. And then
which is what enables,
if we want to set up an Islamic society.
That's what enables them to make these interest-free loans, is that they are parasites
right.
that suck our blood. And,
right.
and this is what the minister openly charged them with, as did the historical Jesus. So I don't know
yes.
how any anybody can call themselves a Christian and read the Bible, and God forbid you call yourself a Christian minister or pastor, and you get up every Sunday and Wednesday, Bible and all that, and never talk about that pervasive thread throughout the ministry of Jesus was the vicious attacks by the Jews. They stalked him.
That's right.
And finally persisted in bringing about his crucifixion.
And see, was not brought about Malcolm. It was Malcolm X who brought the protocols of the learned elders of Zion to the nation of Islam. It was Malcolm X who really brought out the Satan and the deviousness of the Jews, and these are the ones who had Malcolm killed, because Malcolm was hard on them. The messenger was not hard on the Jews. The messenger said, study them. We can learn from them. We can eat from their food. But Malcolm, he trashed the Jews. And so this is why they had him killed and then blame it on us. So these people, we have to study these people. These people know who we are, and they have stolen our birthright, our identity, and they are afraid anytime somebody wakes us up so that we can take back what belongs to us and let the world know that these are the great deceivers.
Well, you know, to your point, and then we'll get back to the phones, callers, to your point, Dr. Ridgely, about Malcolm and the Jews, I think that's important for us to remember. And you know, it was the New York Times that created this atmosphere for Malcolm's assassination, even before the ultimate plan was hatched. You know, I'm sure there were several scenarios that were proposed by those who were directly involved. But it's always that media. So it was the Jewish-owned New York Times, and they printed in March of 64 an editorial entitled "To Arms with Malcolm X." And listen at their language. Malcolm X, the embittered racist, recently ousted from the Black Muslim movement, has struck back in anger. He has called upon Negroes to form rifle clubs, ostensibly to defend lives and property in time of emergency. Quote, it is legal and lawful to own a shotgun or rifle, end of quote, says Malcolm, adding with a straight face, quote, we believe in obeying the law. Malcolm's is a call to break the law, take the law into one group's hands, erect a private militia. His is a call to arms against duly constituted police forces. When he mocked the assassination of President Kennedy, he exposed himself to Negroes and whites as the irresponsible demagogue that he is. So, you know, to your point, look at that. See, they were putting a jacket on him.
Right.
And you see also in this the wisdom as well as the righteousness of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to prohibit the carrying and possession of arms by members of the Nation of Islam. See, they zeroed right in on that.
Right.
And they were saying to white folks, see, what they really wanted is just any crazy white person to run up on him and just blow him away.
Right.
And that didn't, they couldn't make that happen, and so they had to set up something a little bit more calculated and structured, which was ultimately the assassination at the Audubon Ballroom. But you just made me remember that I had read that a couple of days. I'd never seen that before, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're bringing all of that out. So we got Brother Keith on the line. He has a comment and a question. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Keith. Welcome to Elevated Places. Welcome back, I should say. You are live.
Malika Shalom, appreciate it. Or whatever. I just want to say this first. When I seen the Minister Pay That Violence, he screams black royalty. Every time I see this, man, it's like you in the presence of God. This man is it's a multi-intelligence genius. This man is unspeakable. This man, you can't fathom, like Dr. Ridley say. He say he's unhuman. That ain't human.
That's right.
Well, like Dr. Ridley says, he's the next human being.
Next human.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Or whatever.
He's what we're trying to evolve to.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. That's in exact. Dollar Sterling, we need to give him an honorary pass to Savers Day. I love
speech.
We need to give a show. We need to give that man a show. A master broadcast. But I'm finish up by saying this. If black people don't wake up and realize that we can be a superpower overnight, if you truly look over the black, you know, our finances, we're the ninth richest group of people on the face of the planet. We're the most educated, richest group of black people on the face of the planet. We should have no problem becoming a superpower. America is not for us. Who wants to be an American? First of all, I'm going to say this last about Malcolm X. Now, this may anger somebody. What if we did kill him? It's the Nation of Islam, a government. If someone commits treason from a foreign country, they got the
Amen.
Right to deal with these citizens as they see fit. So they need to get out the internal business of our affairs, just like the white man loves to do since some Negro pins, Al Sharpton. I love him, but we need to sit this Negro down. We got to sit him down, like I tell you before. If you want to fix the Negro leadership problem, kill him or get rid of him. You need to get him alternating. Are you going to join us or you going to go down with the enemy? If we properly organize, we can be a superpower. And I'll leave with that. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salam. Brother Keith, bring it. Honorary pass. Donald Sterling.
That's
you can't. They won't let you in the NBA games. Normally, we don't let y'all in our meetings. But, you know, we're going to ask Mr. Farrakhan if you can come in and listen to the message. Because I think he would appreciate hearing the minister. He probably listens to him. You know, because we can't deny the truth. I mean, the way he expresses it, he's not a vicious person in his expression. He just says what it is.
Well, you know, his wife says he's suffering from dementia, but what that is he doesn't he doesn't hold back on truth. In other words, he just says what he wants instead of thinking about it. So wait a minute, what that gonna mean? What they
right.
The white folks, that's why they can't dance. They got to think about everything before they do it. He's just rolling. You know what I mean? I like to ask him things on everything.
That's right. Well, they said Anderson Cooper that interviewed him from CNN, he said he was surprised that when he went to sit with him, he didn't have anybody with him. A man got $2 billion.
Right.
And he's in all kind of legal hot water, and he's a lawyer. You would think he'd have his legal people, his publicity people, staff, bodyguards, nobody. So he's by himself, just sitting back.
Well, you know, he got cancer. He knows he's going to die. This is like his bucket list. He's having fun.
That's what I feel. I think this may really extend his life, you know, because Allah created the universe with truth. You know, and there's life in telling the truth. And he may be, you know, Allah may give him a few more years if he keeps bringing it.
Right.
He just needs to keep bringing it until we've covered Secret Relationships, Volume 1 and 2. I just want him to confirm everything. But we're going to move on. We've got Sister Joella. She's been holding for a while. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Joella.
Well, alaykum salam, my beloved sister and brother Terrence and Dr. Ridley. As-salamu alaykum to the family.
Well, alaykum salam.
Yes, ma'am. I am so sorry I missed you on
Sunday. I am too.
Sunday.
I'm shocked.
But listen, don't think that your sister is. I have relocated and in the South. And by the help of Allah, yes, ma'am. And by the help of Allah, we're working in Charleston, and we're going to try to get you down there, sister, inshallah. So just please, ma'am, keep going with that wisdom that you're bringing forward, and also to just talk about our beloved minister and just the style and all that he presented to us, the gifts on Sunday with the violin, and it was just amazing just to see him, not saying a couple of weeks ago he was in the hospital and then performing. Yeah. All praises due to Allah for just taking care. All praises due. But I just want to, I don't want to take up a lot of time because I know there are callers on the line, but we just have to continue to think that way because down here in the South, it is still hard for our people to separate from their former slave master. Amen. And they will take up for them no matter what the situation is. When it comes to our people, it is just so sad. And first of all, we have to try to get them off that pork because they're just dying at an early age and they don't realize that this stuff is killing them. So please continue to go forward, and I'm teaching and helping, trying to help our minister to just do what is right. So, again, assalamu alaikum, and may Allah continue to bless us to separate and get reparation. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, beloved. Walaikum salam. Beautiful call. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Like the Underground Railroad, reverse Underground Railroad is in effect.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's taking out the north, coming south.
That's right. That's right. All right, brace yourself. Seatbelts fast. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salam.
Wa alaikum salam, family. Dr. Ava, Dr. Ridgely, and Brother Terrence Muhammad, a.k.a. Flight Lieutenant. I love y'all just as much as I did last time. Thank you for setting that up, Dr. Ava.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, slavery and kidnapping, the primary goal of both of those is financial gain. That's the only reason they go after our athletes. They use them, give them a white woman who does something special for them one day, just once is all it takes with them, and then they make them misinvest their money.
That's right.
And then it goes right back in their pocket.
That's right.
And I just don't understand why they want to look at that pale substance. But the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is the only messenger that has ever addressed a methodology that will address total freedom, justice, and equality. It's what we think, what we eat, what we fear, and what we command of ourselves. Allah did not put us here to serve anybody but him, and the Quran explains that almost every other page. We can bring things into existence just by thinking on it if we're marching by the right drumbeat.
Yeah.
And that is the only place that we need to be at this point in time. And I do want to say this, and it's happening so prominent. I just had a young lady leave here that picked up a living will kit for her family. And before she left here, she got her mother and father on this call. Your introduction to what you've been doing set that young lady on fire. She's 20 years old, getting ready to graduate from UT Medical School, and helps me when I go around doing health conferences and health fairs. She got her father, who's a pastor, her mother, who's the first lady, and the grandmother are listening to Elevated Places just by her spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All praise is due to Allah. And I just want to say, the last thing I want to say is that we've gotten to a point, we're witnessing something that we don't realize, and that Satan's lies are perishing nearly the same day that he speaks the lie. He can't even lie.
Come on.
He can't even lie farther than 24 hours. This thing is going out. And if we don't separate right now, we are in trouble as a total community. I'm not talking about the NOI, but when you see pastors listening, and when you see babies like the 10-year-old that I introduced last time, they're coming. All we have to do is stay focused on the mission and be right and exact ourselves. Thank you so much, family.
Oh, thank you. As always, a brilliant, brilliant observation.
I'm still ruminating over what he said that 10-year-old told him last week. What he told us, how that 10-year-old already saw darkness in his soul at 10. And this goes right back to what you said about what the teacher told Malcolm. When Malcolm was about 9 or 10 years old, he broke Malcolm's spirit and he saw darkness, the same way this young brother.
Yes.
So once you break the spirit of the person, they know what they're doing at that age. You know, there's a Kunjufu has a book out talking about that in terms of how they do the young black males in the third and the fourth grade. This is scientific, how they break his spirit. Then once your spirit is broken, you just, you know, you just flesh walking. You know, ready to be manipulated by anybody.
That's your life force.
That's right.
The flesh is just a blob. Without the spirit, it is the spirit, and that's why we're taught that, you know, we know when we pass from this earth, and the body is still here. It's laying there, immovable, will not talk, cannot hear, cannot smell, there's nothing you can do to make me sit up, respond to you. So where did all of that go?
Come on.
That was my voice, my life, my laughter, that I cried, all of that. That was the spirit. And as you all are saying, when you break that, you've destroyed the person.
That's right.
There is nothing there. And so we cannot continue to send our offspring to the spirit killer.
Right.
To learn from them. It is better, just as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, it is better to nurse milk from a sick mother than a cow.
Mm.
So it is better for a young child to be educated by a woman who's his mother that's illiterate.
Mm.
You can educate a baby, just take them with you everywhere.
That's right.
Teaching them how to maneuver through life. That's what the zebras and the anaconda snake and the frogs and the lions, that's what they do. The way they teach their offspring is by taking them with them through life.
That's right.
This is how you handle the enemy, see? This is how you find food. This is shelter.
That's right. Well, this is why they break us up. That's why they continue to break us up.
We're not even with them.
That's right.
They're elsewhere.
That's right.
That is the most unnatural state that you could possibly manufacture. So we're going to go to Brother Hoyle. He's been holding. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Hoyle.
Well, alaykum salam, my sister, and Dr. Ridgely, and Brother Terrence. I've missed y'all a couple of weeks. Dr. Lean Muhammad's going to be in our town this weekend, too. So if you're in the Memphis area, you can get a checkup. He will be speaking at our mosque Sunday, and he's going to do the checkups at a South Haven study group, which is not too far. And I want to get out, Sister Ava, shout out to my son. He was valedictorian of his class, black male. Praise be to Allah. I raised him with the truth.
Valedictorian.
He had $500,000 worth of scholarships, Sister Ava. And he is, he got a full, I was going to send him to Howard, but with this time, I want him not too far from it. So he'll be at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. So he get full everything. So,
beautiful.
Praise be to Allah. So, this is a beautiful subject here. I know Dr. Ridgely was talking about these people. You know, they're Talmud worshipers. And I'm not going to be long, but, I was reading a new Final Call, and this is also the one-year anniversary of Malcolm Latif Shabazz, Malcolm's grandson, being murdered over in Mexico, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And the minister said, in the time of what must be done, I want to say to black America that the same FBI that hatched the plot to divide Brother Malcolm from his teachers, the same FBI that worked to destroy black organizations, black leadership, and was dogging the footsteps of this young potential giant. So, and I remember you were talking about Sister Ava. You know, we look at all these killings. And the minister said all of these government agents that were supposed to be sent to Russia were back here. And that's why they were all put in these gangs. So most of these killings are not done by gang members. They're done by government agents in these gangs that are what they. What, I remember you saying nigger police. You know, we have to look at that too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. A lot of these drive-bys, we got to look at that too. That's why we need to, that's why we need to take control of our community, because as long as they're infiltrating our community with these gangs, they're in the mosque, they're in the churches, they're in all these black organizations, and we're at war. So that's why we got to tighten up the house. Like I said, the minister told us, the next 6 months, warn our people. I think these next 3 years are those three dark years of these dark hours. But I'm going to read something real quick, Sister, that the minister was talking about the Jews. He said, what I'm saying to you is not for you to hate the Jewish people. That would be beneath you, because whatever they did, it was by the order of a power bigger than they and bigger than we. Now listen to this, y'all. God is the author of our suffering, but he used these people to train us up, to burn us in the fire of affliction, the furnace of affliction, that we could come out as pure gold to the standard of value of every nation of our planet. That's Minister Farrakhan and the proof, the lessons from the Jewish influence of world affairs. So we've learned from this, and we know the devil is on his job, but we got to be on our job and unify. And like I said, Sister, y'all, we better be. You know, we're going to get straight fire, but Allah is, y'all doing a great work, and like I said, if you're in Memphis, Dr. Ling will be doing checkups and, his work. He'll be speaking here Sunday. And Sister Avery, you let me know when you come in here. We can't wait till you come miss these parts.
Oh, absolutely.
We waiting on
it.
We waiting on you,
and give Dr. Ling the greetings and love from all of us.
Yes, ma'am. Well, either you come here or South Haven, wherever, we'll be ready for you, Sister. My father remembers you. You remember when you were at South Haven. We met, and I met your husband, Brother Darius.
Yes, sir.
Everything. So,
I remember.
And he gives you the greetings.
Thank you so much. All right.
As-salamu alaykum. May Allah bless you and your family. As-salamu alaykum.
You know, to Brother Hoyle's point about the violence and the source of the violence, and reading from the minister. You know, I was driving down the street today, and I drove through, as we call, the hood. And, of course, Chicago has many hoods. And I'm driving, and I see the police lights. This, noon, I mean, just the height of the day. Right. And you see the police, and it was the undercover vehicles, okay? And they had rolled up on these brothers, and then they had a second layer of police in the cruisers, in the labeled automobile, just lights everywhere. And you had about seven or eight black men up against a wall, and so I slowed down. People were slowing down, sort of letting them know that we're looking at this. And
right.
They ultimately had put two of the brothers in a car. But I'm looking at all these brothers just standing around, And what came up in my mind was theology of time, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching on his observation one morning on the farm. He woke up on the farm, and he was observing a rooster and how this rooster was protecting and controlling the chickens, the females. And there came a time when the rooster gathered up, he forced all of the chickens and hens to come together, and then he forced them to go inside the hen house. And he came back out, and he was scanning the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he was watching for the hawk.
That's right.
And the rooster was preparing himself. He saw him go through these motions. And, a rooster is no joke.
Sure.
And he said these are the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he was teaching the context, he was teaching on the value of the female. And he said that rooster was prepared to do battle with that hawk, and this is what stayed with me, the moment it touched the ground.
Come on.
Not when he made a move on one of the hens, but when he touched the ground. And I that came up in my mind looking at this scene today, that only in the black community can this happen. We are not ourselves. You don't. Who are these
right.
people to roll up on us like this?
That's right.
That's right.
There's no people on earth where you can just be intrusive like this. Just go in their community.
Well, you know, our communities are really just places. You know, we're under house arrest. We're scared to come out. You know, we don't know anybody. So it's really like a colony. We've been colonized, and these are just the plantation overseers and whippers that go in and keep us straight. And we've accepted that condition. You know, what can we do? What can you do? You know, and but on this thing about this, these killings, they got surveillance cameras on every corner.
That's right.
They never saw a drive-by. They never saw anybody kill anybody. Nobody's been caught. No, it's David's doing it.
Exactly. All of these unsolved murders, and like you said, and as I always say, you know, you can't solve a murder, but run a stoplight. Run a stoplight.
That's right.
You will get a picture of your car in the mail.
That's right.
Along
That's right.
with
That's
an invoice.
That's right.
Park in a no parking slot.
Come on.
Or in Chicago, park and don't feed that meter. Let that meter run out, and 30 seconds later, all kinds of people, that's the only job Negroes have in Chicago now, meter men. Yeah, they will come out of the woodwork to give you a ticket. Okay? But I love that. That's an excellent point. All of these cameras, but they never know who did it. We're getting gunned down in broad daylight, and it's the whole spectrum. It's babies, children, adolescents, young adults, middle age, elderly, both genders. You can be in your living room watching television and get shot in the head. There was
That's
a time
right.
when you had to be involved in some illegal activity yourself. You know, if you weren't involved in anything, you pretty much were all right. That's not the case anymore.
At all.
You know, it's back to like it was in post-Reconstruction South. That's, all you got to be is black.
That's right. That's right.
That's it.
And the vigilante is out there.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So we've got... coming down, we got about 20 minutes left, and we've got way more than 20 minutes of callers, which is great. Brother Michael is on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Michael. You are live. I think he might have us on mute. Brother Michael? All right, we'll come back to you. Brother Michael, we'll move on. Sister Peggy, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, family.
Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. And I was just listening to what you were saying and what all of you have said about the enemy, and I realize that just a lot of us just don't know who the enemy really is. We live among the enemy, but we
mm-hmm.
just are in such denial that we don't know he is the enemy. But even Jews,
sure.
when they're young, they learn who the enemy is. My daughter used to be a camp counselor, and her coworker was a guy whose mother was Jewish and his father was a German. And one of their charges was this precocious little 8-year-old who had an evolved sense of humor. and both of his parents were Jewish. But he found out about the other guy, and he walked up to him one day and said, "Have you ever asked your mother what it's like to sleep with the enemy?"
Wow.
And my daughter said, "You know, that sounds like a joke, but I think he was really asking him a question for a real answer."
Mm.
Because they know who they are when they're young. They know who their enemy is.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we don't. And that's all I have to say.
Well,
I know there's a lot of people that
excellent.
Have more to say. But anyway.
Well, I love that you brought it up because you made me remember what I meant to say when Dr. Rizzi talked about them following by necessity the law. Even though they don't have the spirit, they have to follow the law of Islam, which is mathematics, because you can't structure anything without it. You certainly can't build a civilization. And just like, you know, as I'd mentioned last week with the comment he made about the no interest loans, and now of course he's saying he is not going to pay the $2.5 million fine. He's not even going
right.
to. Which reminds me of Michael Corleone in Part Two when he told that senator, "You know, I'm not even going to pay the $25,000 licensing fee. You're going to pay it, okay?" And so, but what to Sister Peggy's point about knowing who they are, you know, I noticed with them too. See, they're teaching us to abort children, all right? Kill children,
right.
have promiscuous sex. They don't do that.
That's right.
They have the, you know, while they're pushing all this homosexuality, like you were saying, all this, they have the nuclear family.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know, when you go up in their communities, you see mom, dad, okay,
pushing
the children, grandma, okay,
right.
everybody's, everything's intergenerational and teaching and passing on the wealth, the
That's
history,
right.
all of that. Like I've told many times before, Susan Taylor's a Jewish woman said to her, we don't understand you all. She kind of raises Donald Sterling point. We don't understand why you all continue to be broke. And she said, you know, from the age of three, we are taught in Jewish households, we send money to Israel.
Come on.
Starting at 3 years old.
Come on.
And those mothers, I see them. They push those carriages. They read to their children. They talk to their children.
Right.
They teach them. While we run around screaming at our children, cursing at them, every question they ask, "I don't know. Don't be asking me that." If it's not a question about what Jay-Z and Beyonce are doing, we don't know.
Come on.
Absolutely.
And then we wonder
That's
why
right.
we're in this condition. But thank you very
right.
much, Sister Peggy. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. So let's roll on down. We've got Brother Lewis is on. Baton Rouge. Our brother, he does so much to help promote Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Lewis.
Wa alaikum salam, sister. How you doing, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence?
Yes, sir.
Yes, fine.
Great.
Like I'm really good. Sister Ava, Dr. Ridgely, they love y'all in Jackson, Mississippi. We were down there recently, and they're looking for y'all.
Love them back.
But I wanted to make a comment and ask a question as it relates to the watchman, of course, on the wall. The minister said he put us as watchmen on the wall, and that the watchmen are supposed to warn the people as to what is coming, not wait until the house is burning down before you yell fire, but we should be yelling fire ahead of time so that we could save property and lives.
That's right.
When you see Malcolm was number one on the ADL's list of so-called anti-Semites. And
right.
you can see a lot of comparisons between the way they dealt with Malcolm and the way they tried to deal with Dr. Collett. And it was really interesting to me in how Malcolm was real tough on the so-called Big Six leaders, Roy Wilkins, A. Philip Rudolph, Baynard Rustin, who he debated. Even Dr. King at that day. There was one other. I'm not thinking of it right now. But today we have Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Michael Eric Dyson, Julian Bond, and a few others. And it's interesting, Sister Ava, this thing seems like it's some parallels and together here, because after the Million Man March, they gave all the Negro leaders faith-based initiative money.
That's right.
Sure.
To go around and preach against Minister Farrakhan and get all the doors of the churches closed so that we couldn't go in and teach our people anymore.
That's
but
right.
What has happened now, and all of the watchmen should know it, is that they are passing out some serious money to preach not the good news, but the gay news.
Yeah, I was just going to say, exactly.
And I posted a video on my Facebook page, and I passed it along. You should see how Al Sharpton's post is preaching homosexuality. Preaching it. Jesse held a whole press conference on homosexuality. Not can you unite with Minister Farrakhan, but can you unite and be homosexual? So it's no way to get around a fight. And every one of these, Julian Bond, he held a press conference on homosexuality.
No.
And this is social engineering. And so as watchmen on the wall, we don't want to be vile to just throw off at our people. But come on, you inside of a church, you don't want to unite with Minister Farrakhan, but you find the unmitigated, you have the unmitigated gall to go to the black church, because the black church, before Obama got in office, shot down Proposition 8, I think it was, out in California, and passing out money to these Negroes to preach homosexuality to the black community. And to be frank about it, we're sick of it. And there's no way that we can be good watchmen and not say something about elders or so-called leaders in our community preaching homosexuality. Not three-year economic program, not new for self, but homosexuality. So every test that we failed during the time of Malcolm is back on the table now with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we got to pass this test. But the South, they are waiting for Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ava Muhammad. And we can't wait to see you down here. We intend to bring out the victims of integration, Sister Ava.
Yes, sir.
And
what,
we want to make it big when you come. And we want
to be able to
talk to our people.
Thank
y'all so much.
Thank you, brother. Walaikum salam. Thank you. And look, we better remember that, some of the worst punishment that Allah levels
on
people is the practice of homosexuality.
That's right.
You know, I mean, like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah, when he's done, you don't even know they were ever there. And we're living among a people who are not only practicing this, but they are rubbing this in our face.
Right.
And they're unstoppable now. They're unstoppable.
Right.
They were on the radio today talking about, okay, now that we have same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be looked upon as a special group of people.
Right.
We want to be treated we want to blend in now.
Right.
And so now you have the big Mandingo, walking dead black man, the football player.
Come on.
Who was the last draft in the NFL, last draft pick, he's got to come on television, and with this, not only is he with a man, he's with a white man, so he just went the distance. And he and his little white boyfriend, and they played this over and over, where he got the call from I think the Cowboys took him or somebody, and he cried, and he rubbed cake on this man's face, and then they kissed each other in the mouth. And you are seeing this over, and every one of these people get a call from the president. What is that about?
What is that about? Come on.
You can't say boo dog to Minister Farrakhan. You can't acknowledge 81 years on this earth. You don't have to love him. You just have to be a person and have basic intelligence to acknowledge the presence of someone of this significance in the human family. But you're scared to do that. But every sissy that comes out the woodwork, where is the courage, first of all, I want to know? Why are you congratulating these people on courage when everybody is doing this?
Come on.
I can't find relief from it. Every time you turn around, somebody, well, you know Susie's coming out the closet. Joe's coming out the closet.
Right, right.
There is no closet anymore. We're the ones in the closet.
Come on.
The heterosexual now.
That's right.
We're the freaks, right?
That's right.
What is wrong with us? I'm going to be saying, you know, I was born with a desire to be with a man.
Come on. That's right.
Now I got to get up at Straight People Anonymous. I'm married to a man. Okay.
Oh, why?
What is happening here? That this is being treated, your announcement that you want, you're talking about sex, first of all. You're talking outright plain, specific laser beam. You're talking about having sex. And you're saying, as a man, I have sex with men, as a woman. Now this Robin Roberts, whatever her name is, the woman on the morning show.
So, right.
Yeah, now she's, quote, coming out.
Right.
And we're not trying to get us a community away from this.
Come on.
There's something seriously wrong with us.
And it's very deep that you said it, Dr. Ava, as I'm into a lot of this progressive movement and fighting for justice and all these different rallies and the whole More Monday movement, you know, when I hear that, you know, we're making no separation from our black, Latino, and white brothers, we're coming all together, we're working together with our LGBT community, you know, that community is a part of the struggle. So it's almost like they have infused, so when you're talking about the struggle and the fight and the push for justice and equality, that they are included in that. And I remember we was at a rally Monday, and when the defense of them was said from the podium, a large group of people scream, you know, so they're infused in the work to the point that now they're seen hand in hand as we're fighting for our justice, that they're infused in that fight. So if you don't fight for them, then you're really not fighting for freedom, justice, and equality.
That's right.
How tightly that they are woven themselves into this struggle that you cannot not fight without them. And even the Jewish influence in the whole civil rights movement and this movement that's going on as we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Freedom Summers, the Freedom Rides, Freedom Summer this summer, and just that whole process. So as you say, it's not a coming out. They out, and they're strong, and they're taking root, and they're even taking root in the psychology of the civil rights leaders, that this is part of that struggle today.
In fact, yes, they started out with that, and this is why integration, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, is
Please.
A sin, and Brother Lewis
Please.
Calls us victims. See, because after from integration, the next step is oblivion.
Come on.
You vanish into nothingness. See, what they're doing now is we're being written out of history. They completely co-opted the black struggle. They studied it, and they copied it. And now they are pushing us out of it. And so now you hear the phrase, and like Brother said, Al Sharpton, he's like the national spokesperson. Okay, for the movement. And now you hear gays, women, and minorities.
Come on. We third now.
See, that we moved from first place, then to second, and now we're third. And
we're third.
This is why our children are talking and acting crazy. See, now our children are, to them, if you're born in the 90s, you think it's completely normal for a man to be with a man and a woman with a woman. It's as normal as the the handheld devices. And this is where it was all headed.
Well,
and they're being orientated to this at a young age, very young, like toddler.
Well, the devil intends to take us all to hell with him. That's his
yes,
plan.
Yes, he does. That's the goal. That's the goal. And there's no faster way to the fire.
That's right.
than this. This will get
that's right.
This will get it done. But I'm going to take one more call. We got Sister Barbara. She's been holding for so long. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Barbara.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. How are you?
Fine by my submission. I called to tell you that I was looking at this news paper on the internet, and George Sawyer, I guess that's his name. You know what I'm talking
the
about?
The billionaire. Yeah, the billionaire.
Yes.
He
just sold all his shares in Citibank, J.C. Morgan, and Bank of America. And the bankers are really watching that because he's selling all his shares because he's getting out of all the banks. And so most of the time they watch him because the last time, every time he make a move in the financial industry, something happens. And so I thought I would call and tell you that because it's a good time for all of our people to start sending their pennies, dimes, and quarters to Economic Blueprint, because the
that's
headline
right.
reads, is this the sign of trouble ahead for the banking industry? And they go ahead and they mention the fact that every time he makes a move in the financial department, something happens in America. And so with China and Russia coming together, planning on, you know, using a different currency, And the Honorable Elijah, you have to remember, Master Farad Muhammad said he dreamed he saw himself pushing the Rockefellers and all of these people into the lake of fire. And in order to separate our people from the white man, Allah has to destroy the money. The money system has to go.
Oh, my God,
because
yes.
that
oh,
is what
yes,
holds
Lord.
Our people to
that's right.
the enemy. Is the money.
That's right.
And so that's all black people talk about. That's why these entertainers, as far as they're concerned, if you listen to the latest record by MC and this heavyset guy, I don't know his name, but anyway, all they're singing about, sister, is demonic and wicked behavior. And this is where our children are getting these messages from, because if you're listening to this kind of music every single day, and that's
yes,
all you hear. And music is a science. And music.
That's right.
And so our children are listening. So they're imitating
yes,
what
ma'am.
They're hearing. And I'm going
that's
to
right.
send that website to you so you can listen to these songs. This is the main
okay.
reason why I don't have a lot of respect for rappers and
yes,
people, because they're not really healthy for our community.
Right.
And thank
yes,
you for
ma'am.
Allowing
well,
me to say that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, beloved. Thank you to the Elevated Places team, Sister Rona, Sister LaDonna.
Thank
Dr.
you for
Ridley,
listening to
Brother
and participating
Terrence,
in Elevated
Sunday
Places
team.
With Dr. Ava Mahan.
Brother Ashad.
Be sure to join
Dr.
us
Valerie,
right here
Tim,
every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com /
Elevated. Assalamu alaikum.
Islam.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com / Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.